Well, let's go in a little farther here into the baptism of power. But I'm going to look at a specific aspect of it tonight. Let's start again in the same verse where we were this morning in Colossians chapter 1. And get our mind going back down that same path. Now, while you're doing that, I'll put you in remembrance of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus himself said, I don't want you even leaving Jerusalem. I don't want you to go be my witness, not until you have received the promise of the Father. And he said, the promise of the Father is this, John truly baptized in water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then he plainly tells them in Acts 1, 8, for you shall receive power, and that's dunamis, that's not just authority, that's dunamis. I'll teach on this another night. You want to know when you received authority? When you were born again. That's exact. Do you know you were born a king? I'm just going to talk to her now. Did you know you were born a king? Amen. Did you know you were? Now here's another one. Did you know you were born a priest? Now you have to grow up into it. And there's the other half of the message. That's Alan. Okay, what he's been teaching. All right, but let's stick with this baptism of power. Acts 1:8. I'm headed to Colossians. You don't need to turn there. But you shall receive power, and that's dunamis. Not just authority. Authority is great. But power, something else. You might have authority to blow up the dam, but power blows up the dam. Comes about World War II, you know. We're talking about, that's where we get our word dynamite, where we get the word dynamo. Power. Well, and you get it when? After the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then, see, you shall be my witnesses. He never intended for us to be witnesses without power. Not just the apostles, but even today we looked at those that went from Cyprus to Antioch. Their names are never mentioned. They're never called apostles. They're just called believers. And it says the hand of the Lord was with them. Who is the hand of the Lord? That is the Holy Spirit. You read about another chapter or two later on, you'll see where Paul, speaking to that guy, that sorcerer guy that kept interfering with his witness to, and he says, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind for a season. That's the hand of the Lord. Well, the hand of the Lord was with these no name. We don't have their names is what I mean. Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, as they went to Antioch and preached the gospel, and the hand of the Lord was there to demonstrate the power. That's what we all have. Okay? All right? Now, Colossians chapter 1, and I'm just reviewing a little bit from this morning, starting in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. I'm going to have to stop again. See, the kind of church I grew up in, and I thank God for them. Thank God they preach the cross. Thank God people get saved there. But whenever they would pray for the sick, if anybody, say a church member was sick, well, let's lift up Brother Jones tonight. Brother Jones is suffering from whatever. And Father, we pray that you'll heal him. And then at the end of it, it's, if it be thy will. Now, that is the opposite of being filled with the knowledge of his will. If you want to know his, I'm going to quote Lester Summerall. I've been quoting a lot here. I'm going to quote Lester Summerall. He says, you want to be anointed? No, hang on a minute. Sorry. Oh, now, do you want to know his will? Read your New Testament. Do you want to be anointed? Do the New Testament. See? Now, if you know his will, see, it's one, well, I have, it says to be filled, say filled. See, it says filled with the knowledge, not a little tiny grain of sand. I kind of think maybe sort of God might a little bit once in a while on Tuesdays after 4 might want to heal. We have a grain of sand of his will. That's not being filled with the knowledge of his will. If you really want to know how to know his will, you got to look at Jesus. Jesus told him, he says, you want to know the Father? Look at me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, you know, we've already done our homework here. You can check it out yourself. No one who ever came to Jesus for healing did not leave without their healing. They all got it, every single one of them. Not once did he say, it's not the Father's will to heal you. Not once did he say, he wants to heal you, but not today. Come back on Thursday. No, it's the Father's will. So we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And I use that example this morning of Dad Hagen. He knew the will of God. He was filled with the knowledge of God when it came to those warts on Zona's body. And he knew also that he was anointed, that he could speak in the name of Jesus. And those warts didn't have a choice. They had to come off. Okay, that's get this morning's if you didn't. I know you heard it. But. Now, the purpose of this, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Remember, you are a spirit. You are a creature from another realm. You live, the physics that you have available to you are higher than the physics that govern this world. You can't walk on water according to the physics of this world. But a man with a walks in the spirit, if need be, you can walk on the water. Peter walked on the water. Peter wasn't even born again. But at the word of the Lord, he could walk on the water. Well, if you ever need to, now I'm not saying you need to challenge it like that guy talks about at the swimming pool at the motel. You know, I'm going to take it on. You know, he's all dressed, ready to go. All he did was get soggy, see. But anyway. Now, the purpose of that, to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you might walk worthy of the Lord. Now, he's talking about our walk, not our church theory. Theory is not the right word. Not our church talk. He's talking about your daily walk instead of your church talk. That's pretty good. Amen. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now, this goes right along. I didn't really plan it this way, but this goes perfectly from Wednesday night's message about let your light shine. He says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, naturally, we think of things that man can do, some good works that everybody can do. He must be talking about my giving and my praying and my fasting. No, can't be talking about those three things, because he said all three of those things, you're supposed to do that in secret, where men don't even see you do it. He cannot be talking about those things, but we gravitate to those things because anybody can give, anybody can pray, anybody can fast. Anyway, whether you will or not is another thing. No, he's talking about the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. He's talking about you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Amen. So being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now here we go. Strengthened with all might. And that's the word dunamis. According to his glorious power. And now that's the word kratos or kratos, however you pronounce it. And it literally means dominion. We are to have power in order to bring the dominion of our King to this earth. Whew. What a wonderful occupation. Here we live in this world that's completely, the whole world, it says, lieth under the power of the wicked one. It's a world of darkness. Satan is still called the god of this world, little g, even after the resurrection. And you can plainly see that every time I get a letter from the hospital in Memphis, St. Jude's. You know, we give to it every month, but it's automatic, you know. But St. Jude, and I see those little bald-headed kids. If there was ever a manifestation of evil on planet Earth, it is the devil attacking those kids with cancer. And bless God, until the church can get that cancer off of them, I'm at least going to help St. Jude's get it off of them. Amen? But we're supposed, see, the dominion of Jesus Christ would not put up with that for a minute. And he does not expect us to put up with it. We're supposed to be strengthened with all, let's say it this way, we're supposed to bring the dynamite. When we come, we bring in the power. Strength, and that, look at verse 11. Strengthened with all, what if I said, it's the word dunamis, it says might in your King James. What if I said, strengthened with all dynamite? In other words, we're bringing it. I'm not coming just to pray for the sick. I'm coming with the dynamite to blow cancer up. Amen. We're bringing it, and it's according to His glorious power, His kratos, His dominion. See, we're children of light, and the world lies in darkness. There is no such thing as a dark switch. You cannot walk into a room full of light and flip a switch and turn on the dark. There's no such thing as that. Darkness is only the absence of light. When we come in, light is supposed to dispel the darkness. Drive that cancer out in Jesus' name. So when it says, according to His glorious power, again, that's the Strong's word, G2904, K-R-A-T-O-S, and it means dominion. The dominion of Christ. Let me give you a couple of verses. You don't need to turn to these. I'll just give you two of them. 1 Peter 5:11 says, where it's the same word is used, says, to Him, Jesus, be glory and dominion, kratos, forever and ever. Amen. Okay. And Revelations 1:6, and He hath made us kings. Now stop right for a moment. Do we believe that or do we not believe it? We believe it. We're under kings. We're kings under the King. But if He has made us a king, is there any such thing as a king that does not have a dominion? There's no such thing as that. He has made us kings to exercise dominion. Amen? He hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion. There it is again. Forever and ever. Dominion. Kratos. All right. Let me read some written things here. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to be a witness of the risen Lord by establishing His dominion over the power of darkness everywhere we go. It is light dispelling darkness. Darkness has never in history been able to put out light. There's no such thing. No such thing as that. Light always extinguishes darkness. There can only be darkness in the absence of light. Does that make sense? Darkness, again, there's no such thing as a dark switch. And do you know we are called the children of light? God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. And we are the children of light. All right? Now let's talk about the Holy Spirit. See, because it says, you shall receive power. When did we receive power? Dunamis. When the Holy Spirit come upon us. Now you guys know I have taught and believed and walked this message of praying in other tongues and meditation of the word and fasting like you have. This June will mark 25 years, okay? And I'm going to continue doing it. I believe in that. But again, He's bringing us to some roof situations now. And the end result, the end purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was not for you to be able to speak with tongues. Tongues is the initial sign. Tongues is one of the benefits of being baptized in the Spirit. But we just read it there in Acts 1:8. What was the purpose of them being baptized in the Holy Ghost? Power to witness. What if I said power to be a martyr? Because the Greek word there for witness is M-A-R-T-U-S. It's where we get our English word martyr. See, every time you witness, you face the possibility of rejection. In some countries, you face the possibility of death. But even if you're not facing physical death, they might reject you. They might mock you. You might become the laughingstock of the office where you work. Whatever. Well, welcome to Christianity. See? You overcome Him. They overcome Him, Revelations 12, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. That's the martyr part. Okay. So, again, here's that vision that I saw. I saw the whole earth in this darkness. You could see through it, but very dimly. First, there was just Jesus. There was just the one light. Everywhere He went, He set the captives free. You can read all about every healing, every miracle, setting the from the madman of Gadara to the woman with the issue of blood, just everywhere he goes, he is setting the captives free, but there's just one light. Later, he anoints 12. Now, there's not 12 more lights because they weren't born again. They were basically operating under his mantle, but at least the light was being more effective. Then there was 70. Amen? 70 more. But again, there was only one light. From God's point of view, this is the earth is too big. There's too much of it. We need more lights. So you know the message of the cross, the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ made it possible for that same life that was in him to now be in you. And people started getting born again. If you could see it from God's perspective, Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. Here's that light again. And then there's another light and another light and another light. And pretty soon, and then they start, and that's the ones that he tells, don't leave town till you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. So now you got lights anointed with dominion. And they start going about doing the same thing. Jesus said in John 17, Father, as thou hast sent me, I'm sending them. So we could apply Acts 10:38 directly to each and every one of us. How God anointed the believers in Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the hand of the Lord was with them. Just like we read this morning. Isn't that true? We saw that same thing in the book of Acts this morning. Now, here's tonight's lesson. This truth is still oozing through my brain. I don't know. It's making its journey to renew my mind, this truth right here. Because I know that God is love. God, that means God the Father is love, God the Son is love, God the Holy Spirit is love. So I've tried to picture in my mind, because the Holy Spirit's omnipresent. He was on the earth during the first 30 years that Jesus was alive on planet earth. So here you've got this light, Jesus, and that nature does make him, it gives him the power to walk above sin. He never commits sin. But he never, yeah, I mean, you reckon there was any blind people in Nazareth? I bet there was. Have sick people, cripples, people that needed a touch of God. And here's the Holy Spirit on planet earth during those 30 years with all of the power to heal the sick, open blind eyes, grow legs out. And he is love. You know, it says that we grieve not the Spirit. He's able to be grieved. And here he is with all this dunamis power in himself. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Genesis 1. Because the whole earth was void and dark and without form, but it says the Holy Spirit was hovering, brooding there. But he wasn't doing anything. He had all this power. He is God as much as God the Father. So the instant that the God the Father wanted light, the Holy Spirit knew that. He has the power to produce light. But he's not doing anything. It's just like Jesus. During the first 30 years of Jesus' life, he's there. The earth is covered with darkness. He has the power to manifest all these miracles, but he's not able to do anything. The Holy Spirit was waiting for something in Genesis. He was waiting for the spoken word, for the God's word. I like how it is in Hebrew better than English. In English, it's let there be light. But in Hebrew, light be, and light was. Glory to God. That's how I want my prayers answered right there. Amen. And I'm telling you, we're coming to that day. We're coming to that day real quick, not 20 years from now. Real quick. Okay? So now I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit. He's there during that 30 years of Jesus. He's not able to do anything. He has to wait until the last man, Adam, is crowned king. And again, synopsizing, okay, at the baptism of John, that's really the coronation of the second man, the last Adam. Even though he won't physically die on the cross for about another 3 years, when John lays him down in the water, he is symbolically saying to the Father, I know why you sent me. I am going all the way to death. But Father, when John raises me out of the water, I am trusting you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will my flesh see corruption. I'm trusting you, Father, you're going to raise me from the dead. Amen. God looked on his heart and counted that as done from that day, even though he won't be physically crucified for about 3 more years from that very moment. Just like with Abraham back there when he was going to plunge the knife into his son. God looked on his heart and saw that it was accomplished. He counted it done without Abraham actually having to do it. He counted at the baptism of John. He looked on Jesus' heart, said, "This is done." And that's why he says, now, it's like all of Adam. When Jesus went under the water, it's like all of the whole species of Adam died right there. From God's point of view, if the first Adam is dead, isn't God free to appoint a new Adam? That's why he says, now this is my son. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit finally is able to reunite with the Son of God. And suddenly that dominion is in force on planet Earth again. Now he did have to go and overcome the devil where the first Adam failed. He got all those temptations out in the wilderness. But bless God, he succeeded. By the way, he succeeded with the exact same tool that you have every time you're attacked. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. I like it when the attorney says, when you're brought into the court of law, don't say anything but this. I'm holding up my Bible for those that can't see me. It is written, it is written, it is written. And you'll beat the devil every time. Amen? Now, from that moment on now you've got the second man, the last Adam, okay, anointed now with the dunamis, the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the point for tonight's lesson. Even though the Holy Spirit is love, has compassion, is God, had to walk by the sick all of those years. Now, get this. If you get this, you're going to be a different person. When he manifests power, his focus is not on healing the sick. That's not really his assignment. Your assignment is to heal the sick. His assignment is to enforce the dominion of the second man, the last Adam. And that means you, if you are going forward in his name. You got that? Holy Spirit, I gave him warning he might need to come. B, you did such a good job this morning. Would you mind to come up here again? She's a good bender. She's limber. I can't. Anyway, yeah, I can. I can bend. For camera's sake, you can just bend right here, honey. Now, for example, this morning we talked about the woman that was bowed over, and she herself could in no wise lift herself up. It's real plain to tell us that. Okay, she'd been that way for 18 years. Now, even when the devil goes, if you've been bent over for 18 years, it might be a little difficult to straighten yourself up. See, so when Jesus, now that one was a spirit. That one was an actual spirit. It says she had a spirit of infirmity. Well, he just loosed her. He'd come like the liberating army. Woman, thou art, now don't stand up when I do this. Woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. And with those words, we can't see the devil. He like, the Holy Spirit grabs that devil, chokes him by the neck. Ow! You know, he says, if I cast out devils by the finger of God. All right? But she's still bent over. And it says, well, I didn't look it up, but it says, Jesus laid his hand on her. See, believers shall lay hands on the sick. And when he did that, the Holy Spirit got a hold of her and she was made straight. Did you get that? She couldn't raise herself up, but the Holy Spirit made her straight. Now, bend over again. Right before that happened, now she's the one sick. We all focus on B. We all focus on the sick. He's not focused on her. He's looking at me. I'm going to tell you what I mean. Now, this is important. If you get this, it's going to change your mouth. It's going to change what you say. It's going to change how you pray. His job is not to heal her. My job is to heal her. What did Jesus say? Heal the sick. You won't ever find where he says, go out and pray for the sick. He says, heal the sick. He told believers to do that. If we're going to be believers, we have to lay hands on. We have to go forward to heal the sick. His job, he's focused on each one of us. In this case, he's focused on Jesus. His job is to enforce whatever I say. And in that illustration there, his job is to enforce what Jesus said. But when you go in the name, he is focused on you. You're the one that's been given the assignment to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. So when Jesus says, or when you say, be loosed in Jesus' name, his job then, he focuses on that devil, and that devil's gone. Then when he's watching you, he's watching me. When I lay hands on the sick, then his job is to take his power and make her straight. You get this? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Like with Elvis lip curl. Anyway, thank you. Now, I need a chair. Ha! Got one. I'm going to put this right over here for teaching purposes. Can you see the chair, cameraman? All right. This is why it does not work to literally pray for the sick. Jesus did not tell us pray for the sick. What this represents, I wish I had a whip. I wish I had a cat of nine tails. This represents the whipping post before the cross. We've been teaching on Isaiah 53, going back there with his stripes. Isaiah says we are healed. And Peter, when he quotes it, he says, with his stripes, we were healed. All right. B, I need you again. I'm so sorry. Okay. She's now just staying right about here this time. And be bent over again. Bless her heart. See, here's a mistake we make. Before I read this, let me tell you. Let me quote you. Do y'all think T.L. Osborne had a fair healing ministry? Millions saved under his, literally millions saved, hundreds of thousands healed. Here's two things that T.L. Osborne says. These are two things you are never to ask God to do. Number one, don't ask God to do what he has told you to do. And number two, don't ask God to do what he has already done. Now here's the normal thing with the church. We see somebody sick. We love B. We've known B for a long time. She's been bowed over. Our affection, our emotions are involved. And traditionally, don't we pray things like, oh, Father, we make intercession for B right now. Father, we're asking that you heal her in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, please heal B. And we're asking God to do it. Okay. You okay? Okay. When we ask God to heal her, you know where he looks? He looks back to the whipping post. He says, I did. The work, God's part of this thing, has already been done. And when we stand over here asking God to do what he's already done, there is nothing there for the Holy Spirit to manifest. That work has already been done. So, and the second thing is we're asking God to do what he plainly told us to do. That's why those prayers will never work. And if they do, it's some kind of just, he had mercy on you. That is not the gospel. The gospel is with his stripes, you were healed. The work has, if you want to know the truth, the decision has already been made. I say it this way, the healing switch got flipped on 2,000 years ago when Jesus bore the stripes. Now, we're not asking God to do what he told us to do. He told us to go lay hands on the sick. And if the Holy Spirit was here, he'd make her straight again. Thank you. She is a good sport. Hallelujah. That is changing my thinking. That's still oozing, saturating my brain. And I'm going, what have I been doing all these years? What have I been doing? I've been praying nonsense prayers. Asking God to do what he plainly told me to do. And secondly, asking God to do what he's already done. From God's point of view, all the work that he needed to do to bring healing to anybody was done 2,000 years ago. Now, here's a lesson that we're coming to. See, Jesus said, I am the truth. But you know, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. The truth is, with the stripes of Jesus, Everybody was healed as far as God's concerned. That healing was already provided. Now, Jesus is the truth. His finished work is the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the manifester of truth. When we get it right, when we understand what's going on, and we take dominion, again, that Kratos, God has strengthened us with all might. Come back up here, Holy Spirit. Hey, Alan gets, 16 guys up on the stage anyway. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. God. Now see, Gary's not so big. Gary. Well, maybe this way. But they're not tall. Okay. But see, God has strengthened Gary with all might. Dunamis. Give us one of those Superman. Whoa. Look around where they can see you over here. Glory to God. Whoa. See? Now, strengthen with, he's not Bronk, he's bigger than Bronk, I think. Strengthen with all might. Why? So Gary can bring the dominion, the Kratos of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while we're at this, think about this. This is no different Holy Spirit, the one that's in you. This is the same one that was brooding over the darkness in Genesis. This is a world builder. He brought land out of the water. He divided the firmament. Now think about this. Brother Gary, I'm a little bit intimidated. I've never healed the sick. I've never laid hands on the sick. Think about it. Every person in history who ever was healed by God, he did it. And he's in you. Now, this may be new to you. It is not new to him. And you know what he is besides your might? He is your counselor. He might have some wisdom for you if you would spend a little time in fellowship with him. Now we know what tongues is for. Because he will spiritually teach you beyond the intellect. But your intellect will eventually get it. But there's no reason for fear. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. How many of you think Lazarus came forth by his own faith? And aren't you glad Jesus said Lazarus? They're at a graveyard. I mean, you know, if he just said come forth, there's 100 graves there. Who brought him out of the grave? Holy Spirit. You are not going to be so afraid to pray to raise the dead. If you ever get that. I told you this truth is oozing through my mind. Now, if his job, okay, I'm going to use you again. Now, he's going to focus on me. But I'm trying to get you to understand he's focusing on you. His job is not to heal the sick. He is not the doer of the word. Be you doers of the word. Remember the crane operator? Remember the, okay, so I'm not perfect, right? I'm the crane operator. We need to load 20 tons of I-beams onto that truck. And in my own strength, I couldn't go down there and budge one of them I-beams, not even one of them, a quarter of an inch. But I got this giant, massive crane. With the right instructions, all I have to do is, I could have, not be perfect, I could have one button undone, belly button hanging out, Cheeto dust on the fingers, crushed up soda cans, you know, maybe bad breath, and you know. But if I know how to do the work, if I know how to do my job and move the little joysticks, that powerful crane picks up those I-beams and loads them on that truck, and just like it's no strain at all. We are the doers. He is the helper. He is the power that God has given us. It's not hard. It's not hard if we'll ever get that. And there's no reason to fear. I'm telling you right now, heaven and earth will pass away before Jesus will not do his word. If we believe it. All things are possible to him that believes. Believers shall lay hands on the sick. And he's in the process right now of ridding us of anything that's unbelief. Amen? Now, again, I want to get this focus one more time. His job is not to heal the sick. His job is, now follow me, I'm sorry. Now, really, we're to be led by the Spirit. That's another lesson we'll do another day. But right now, let's just see ourselves going about. Says Jesus, who went about doing good. All right, we come across somebody blind over here. And I start focusing on that. Well, let's take the lame man at the gate beautiful. Remember it says, look on us. So we got eye lock between Peter and the lame man, right? They got eye lock. But I'll tell you right now, the Holy Spirit was not focusing on the lame man. The Holy Spirit was focusing on Peter. What's he going to do? My job is to manifest the dominion of the King according to what this man says. And when he says, rise up and walk, and he took him by the hand and raised him up, who was it strengthened those ankle bones? That's the Holy Ghost. But again, he's not focusing so much on the guy being healed. His job is to enforce the dominion of the last man, Adam, to enforce the dominion of the King. That's why when we go in the name of the King, he's focused on you. That is going to change what you say. That's had more of a... Thank you. I think you can sit in there. That is having such an impact. You know, we've all heard lessons about bridling the tongue, and all of those are good. But this aspect where I'm thinking, my goodness, the Holy Spirit, his job is to enforce the dominion of Jesus Christ. And he's watching me. He's listening to me. He's waiting for the day that I'll have the boldness. Remember what they prayed? Grant thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to do signs and wonders. The hand of the Lord is the Holy Ghost. We're getting somewhere. Aren't we getting somewhere? Y'all getting this? Hallelujah. Let me read a few more paragraphs here. So I want to read what T.L. Osborne said again. In case you didn't write it down, now please write this down. Number one, there's two things you never want to ask God to do. Number one, I see pens and paper coming out. Don't ask God to do what he has told you to do. Don't ask God to do what he told you to do. And number two, don't ask God to do what he has already done. I have gone back through again Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. I can't find even a single place where Jesus ever told anybody to go pray for the sick. It's just not in there. What he said was heal the sick. Let's say it this way. Manifest the dominion that I earned with my own blood. Manifest that dominion, the victory that I won over the devil. Your job is to take that victory and enforce it as children of light everywhere that you find darkness. Well, it's not hard to find darkness. Amen? So believers, with those two statements in mind, believers have already been told to be his witnesses by laying hands on the sick. We are to lay hands on the sick. And we are to heal the sick in the name of Jesus. It has already been done. Jesus has already borne those stripes. So asking God to heal the sick, all he can do is look at the finished work of Jesus and say, I did. What other work do you want me to do? My son has already borne the stripes. We're going to get to communion pretty soon. Somebody asked me, we're going to have some communions we're going to have really some good. The first 300 or 400 years of the church, they didn't get healed in healing lines. They got healed during communion. See? We're going to have that coming back too. See, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. But Jesus is the truth. What Jesus says during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Holy Spirit does. Can you see that? Jesus is the truth, but the Holy Spirit is the manifester of the truth. He's working with that dominion. Okay? Jesus trained his disciples to function the same way. Peter, he knew not to go out and beg and plead with God. Oh God, please come and heal this lame man at the gate beautiful. Oh God, I'm praying that you heal him. You don't see him operating like that at all. He was trained by Jesus. He knew to issue the command, rise up and walk in the name of the Lord. Peter spoke the command and the Holy Spirit manifested that dominion. Even over birth defects. That's birth defects. I mean, that's not the flu, my brothers and sisters. This man was born lame. There is nothing impossible with our God. I'm going to say it again. But the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God. His name is above every name that is named. He is life and light, and we are the children of light. We are to manifest the dominion of Christ over the darkness everywhere that we go. We are the doers of the word. Remember James? Be you doers of the word. Part of the doing is lay hands on the sick. What if you were, what's the golden rule? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, boy, I'm telling you right now, if I was sick in a wheelchair and couldn't walk, and I heard that there's believers that had the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ and what they say comes to pass, I know what I'd want you to do for me. Pray for me and get me out of this chair. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Whatever you'd want them to do to you, do that to them. We are the doers of the word. The Holy Spirit is the helper who manifests the dominion of the word. But the church keeps getting it backwards. God, you heal them. And he looks at the whipping post. I did. He's already done that. He's told us now, based on that, to go heal the sick in Jesus' name. And it's totally different. I started that at Jim's conference, that first message, storming the gates of hell. Remember Jesus said, on this rock, the revelation that I am the Christ, the Messiah, on this rock, I will build my church. And in the very next sentence, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That word gates, see, Christians had the idea that we're always running from the devil. What the picture Jesus is painting there, hell is the one that's closed the gate so we can't get in there and set the captives free. He said the gates of hell will not prevail. We're supposed to kick the doors down in Jesus' name and loose the captives. In the very next verse he says, and I will give you the kings of the kingdom. No, not kings. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Now see, a thief doesn't need keys, does he? A thief just breaks into your house. You give keys to those that you have trust. You give keys to your kingdom. You give keys to those that you authorize. The devil doesn't have any authority. He gave us the keys of the kingdom. But how do you use it? Whatever you loose on earth. And notice how it's worded. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, which comes first? Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. If you don't ever do any loosing on earth, the power of heaven doesn't come. Now, the fact that you reacted that way is going to make me repeat myself. I'm going to say it to you again. When a son of God speaks, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. That's that verse. I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. But you got to do your part. You're the one that's been given the keys of the kingdom. And it's with your words. Same way Jesus did it. Good stuff or what? Spins my prop and heats my chili, I'm telling you right now. Two more paragraphs and we'll get into the confessions. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We did a whole message on that out of 1 John chapter 5. The whole world, that's that fog, that darkness that's covering the whole earth. But Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God. His name is above every name that is named. He is life and light. We are the children of light. You're one of those dots now. You're one of those lights moving through the darkness. See, the war has been won. The victory has been won. Now, we're going to previews of future lessons. We are in the in-between. You know, Jesus is coming back. He's going to set up his physical rule on earth. We're in the in-between time right now. The victory has been won, but he himself is not here. In the meantime, we are the enforcers of the victory. You got that? Okay. We are ministers of life and life in abundance. It is not just words, but the very life of God that we minister to people. That's why prayer claws work. That's why the life can become so abundant in a person that if the sick gets within shadow length. It wasn't Peter's shadow that healed the sick. It was the presence. They got within shadow length. And that presence was so strong. The Holy Spirit could manifest it. But even then, the life is manifested through vessels of authority. Why didn't the Holy Spirit just do it without Peter's shadow? He doesn't function without the agent of authority. So we're really teaching on co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. We are the agents of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. And we need each other. We can't make, like in that example, we can't make be straight. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But He won't do it without the authority that's been given to you. In the name of Jesus, I'm talking. Getting anything out of this? You are a child of God. Say it with me. I'm going to finish here. I am a child of God. I have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. That means I not only speak with new tongues, I received power when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I am not a silent witness. I go forth in the name of Jesus, in the might of the Holy Spirit, to bring the dominion of my King, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth. What I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven. I have the keys of the kingdom. I have been given authority. And I am about my Father's business. In Jesus' name, amen. Give B another hand. She did so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.